Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY. This is Garden Life on the morning show. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, and I'm Julie Prochinski, here with my favorite co-host, Julie Calamine.
I think I'm your only co-host, but thank you, Julie. Hello.
Good to see you, Julie.
You too.
Our show today is titled Natural Connections in the Garden. In the studio this morning, we have three educators presenting at East Bonner County Library's April Natural Connections Education Series. Here with us, the library's own Joyce Jowdy and Kelly Burt, along with University of Idaho Extension Educator Jennifer Jensen. Welcome, gals.
Morning, ladies.
Julie, we are going to have a handful of a time distinguishing all these voices, except maybe Joyce's.
Guilty as charged.
And they've all been on the show before, so they're old pros.
That's great. Well, would you like me to start with a quick weather report?
Why not?
It's sort of important when we're talking about all things in the garden.
That's right.
I'll go for it. Well, Sandpoint listeners, this is your day. Today is our last sunny day for a few days, and it's going to be a doozy of a beautiful sunny day. Mostly sunny, a high near 65, and then a light south wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. So I say that is perfect for getting out and getting your fingers in the dirt, wouldn't you?
Yes.
All right. Well, then after that, it's rain, clouds, etc., I think until next week at least. So look for showers and lower highs in the high 40s, lows in the high 30s. But a pretty good chance of rain every day throughout the rest of the week. But good for getting the soil ready for planting.
Yes.
It goes down, it dries out, and then we start thinking about putting things in the soil.
That's right. We'll take all the moisture we can get.
That's right. Well, that's about it for weather. So go
okay.
for it, ladies.
Okay, let's head on into our show. So Natural Connections Garden Edition refers to April's day-long workshop at the East Bonner County Library. This is the brainchild of our first guest, Adult Education Coordinator Joyce Jowdy. Joyce, please introduce yourself and your work at the library to us.
Morning.
And morning.
First off, thank you very much for having us on. We really appreciate KRFY and all the great work it does here in the community. So, as you mentioned, I'm the Community Engagement Adult Programming Coordinator. And back in August, we started a new series where one Saturday each month, we have an event 10 to 4, and this next one happens to be April 13th, so mark your calendars, everyone. And what we're hoping for is that the community comes together and shares information, knowledge, experience, what have you. So we're doing all different topics, all different lineups. You know, we've had everything from Ayurvedic medicine to music to movement, to gentle art of puppetry, all different kinds of topics. And then we're trying to make it more of a modality, different modalities. So hands-on experiences, you know, so sometimes your fingers might get a little dirty, or you might get to take some food home or some, you know, the food bank we partnered with the other month and took a bag of groceries home with some recipes after having tasted what you made. So there's all sorts of different things, and we're trying to just bring people together, an opportunity to explore, discover new things, and get to know your neighbors, build some community. So
great.
That's what we've been doing once each month.
Well, connection seems to be a good word to use in the topic. You're bringing all these different groups together. Why don't you just go through the April 13th event and just give us a broad description of each component.
Absolutely. And I should mention, you can come for the whole day, or you can just come for one of these segments that appeals to you that I'm mentioning. So we're going to start the morning off at 10 o'clock, and it's going to be about the effect of climate in the successful garden, and also things like extending your season, all that sort of thing. That'll be at 10 a.m. And then we'll shift at 12 p.m. to seed saving and the library. So think ahead about what seeds you might want to save and learning about that. But also, we're going to inform folks about our seed library at the library. And then at 1 p.m., and by the way, I should mention at noon, feel free to bring your own lunch. You can munch out while you're, you know, learning. And then at 1, we'll do successfully starting seeds, and you'll actually get to make some seed tape, plant a seed, take some stuff home, learn hands-on. And then at 3, we'll be doing planning to preserve the harvest, And that's kind of like, you know, many people, I don't know, do the Julies. Do you guys can or anything like
yes,
that?
That yes, Julie, I think.
That Julie, okay. And that, let me see, that's Julie P?
Yes.
We always have a challenge. I never remember which Julie's Julie. Anyhow, so if you want to have a better plan, Julie, about what's your need to be able to make it through the winter, you know, if you want to can or freeze or whatever, have enough to save, that might be a good session for you.
All right.
Or anybody else like you out there in the community. So that's at 3. But all day long, we're going to be also having a seed exchange. And that is bring your own seed that you would like to share. And Kelly's going to go into more detail about the appropriate type of seed to share. Or even if you don't have any, you can take. So we're calling it an exchange, but don't feel bad if you don't have anything to bring. And just want to let you know, if you're looking for more details, because obviously this is the bird's eye view, go to ebonnerlibrary.org/events page, or you could call me at 208-263-6930, and I'm at extension 1103.
All right.
Hey, I've got a question, Joyce.
Sure.
Are kids welcome, or is this an adult type
well,
day?
Good question. This is focused, the content that they'll be sharing is focused for adults or teens primarily, you know, but we don't turn anybody away. And I should mention this is a free event and everybody, the public is welcome. But, you know, what they'll be teaching is kind of geared more towards the teen or the adult.
All right. Great. Great information there. And we're here to promote this event, but our discussion today is going to be more about what our presenters, your presenters for this program, bring to the community in all kinds of education opportunities. So the idea is if you want more specific information, dear listeners, show up April 13th for this event at the library that Joyce and Kelly and Jen and assorted other presenters are putting on. It's going to be a great, great show.
And I should be clear, it's the Sandpoint Library.
Sandpoint Library.
It's not at our Clark Fork branch. Just want to make sure folks go to the right place.
Okay.
It's not where we have the library garden.
And not in the bookmobile.
Not in the bookmobile, which is shrunk. That could be really tight.
Right. Isn't it a book van now?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, let's go to our next guest. This is a garden coordinator and seed librarian, Kelly Burt. Kelly, introduce yourself and turn us on to what a seed librarian is and what you do in the library.
Well, good morning and good morning to everyone in Sandpoint. I'm so happy to be here. I'm the new seed librarian at the East Bonner County Library and the garden coordinator. Really excited to get started and to meet a lot of people. Our seed library is really interesting. We have donated seeds and collected seeds from community members, other seed savers in the area, and we catalog it, and then you can come check it out. So by check it out, I mean you can just take it. You don't have to write anything down. You don't really have to register. If you want to register, you can, so we can, like, inform you of these interesting classes that we provide. But basically, it's a place where you can come take seeds, and we hope that you will then save seeds and bring some back in return. It's not a requirement, but it's a really interesting way to exchange seeds in the community and to promote seed saving.
So you'll be talking about that on your noon period at the workshop. You do the seed saving portion?
Yep. So we'll talk about seed saving. I believe we have another presenter at noon that day, Elizabeth.
Correct.
Yes.
And she'll be talking more in depth about seed saving, and I'll be there explaining what the library's seed library is, and we'll have an open exchange all day. So from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., you can come take seeds, give seeds if you have them. The main requirement is that they are open pollinated, non-patented seeds. So it'll say on your, if you have a seed packet at home that you've purchased from a seed catalog, it'll say on there open pollinated or heirloom. And those are the things that we have to have. We can't have a patented seed or a non-open pollinated seed.
A hybrid. Right.
Yes.
Right. So if you were, just give us one little hint of what you're going to say on at the workshop. if you were going to say something to people about how to begin to save seed, that would be the beginning. Look at your seed, identify your seed, and then any other suggestions for keeping the seed true?
Yeah, so pick a variety, especially if you're beginning, pick something that's simple, something like peas or a flower, things that don't cross-pollinate. Cucumbers are difficult. They will cross-pollinate with different varieties. So most people want to grow more than one variety of cucumber, right? You want to grow a pickling cucumber and maybe like a slicer. Not the easiest thing to save their seed unless you have a lot of space. So stick with something simple like a flower. And we can talk about, I'll have handouts of what are the easiest things to save seed from and what are the hardest and what are kind of that intermediate. And we'll also offer classes later on in the season for seed saving so we can kind of delve further into it because it's a pretty, you know, it's an art form of saving seeds. It takes people a lot of time and practice and sometimes a lot of space to be able to accurately save seeds.
So why is it important to save seed? I mean, why is it such a big thing now?
It really preserves the genetic diversity of a lot of these plants that we have. It can also create this naturalized plant. So if you start saving a marigold from your garden every year and you're choosing the biggest one and the one with the most flowers, then that next year you're going to have one that is similar to that parent marigold. So each year it's going to become a little bit more naturalized to our environment, to our climate, to your soil type. So it just becomes kind of like your own true seed.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you're picking the best specimens. They've adapted well to our particular environment and our microclimates, and those are good ones to keep.
Exactly.
Got it.
Not just our climate, but our garden, specific garden.
Yes. Yeah. You can start kind of breeding your own, marigold.
Yes. I've heard years ago that even growing seedlings, it's so much better if you've grown them in your environment and put them in your garden. They do a lot better. And I'm sure we'll get more information about starting seed too, because that's one of the topics as well. So the other half of your garden, Kelly, is the other half of your job, Kelly, is garden coordinator. How does the library's garden fit into the library's mission?
So part of the library's mission is to provide access for discovery, connection, and lifelong learning. So in a garden, you're constantly learning. That's one of the things that draws me to gardening, and I think a lot of other people, is that you are never the master of it all. You're constantly learning, like, oh, wow, this pea didn't work. Let's figure out why it didn't work. And you're constantly doing these experiments in the garden. So it just encourages that connection with other people too, to ask them questions about what works in their garden. And it's just this way of bringing a community together. It bridges everything. There's no like political spectrum in gardening, you know, we're just all in the same playing field.
Right. And that connection comes in as well, connection with the land and connection with each other.
Yep, exactly.
Fabulous. Okay, so our third guest today is U of I Extension Educator Jennifer Jensen, a very important resource for Bonner County growers. Jen, take a minute and introduce yourself and your mission at the Extension office.
Well, good morning.
Thank you
for having me. Yes, so I work as the Extension Educator, and our mission through Extension is also to provide education throughout all areas of Idaho and help make that connection between the University of Idaho and the researchers and professors there with all the citizens of Idaho. So being able to bring that information and education out to everyone in the state is important.
That's great. And you will be presenting a couple of different topics at the event.
I will be. I'll be first working on the climate and having a successful garden. So whether you're new to the North Idaho climate or you're experienced here, there is always something to be learned about it. We have a new USDA hardiness zone map that came out in the fall of last year. So just based on the weather information that they used, you may find that your hardiness zone may have changed slightly. Many of the areas went up about 3 degrees, and so that might have meant that you jumped into the next category. So that's going to be important. Also looking at that more recent weather information, it might affect your growing season, your days without frost. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Regardless, we tend to have a relatively short growing season. And so having some sort of season extension can be important to gardeners here in North Idaho, especially when you're trying to grow different food.
So. Yes, even in my little garden, I have different zones in the garden that support different plants.
Exactly. So we have our larger sort of macro climate descriptions like the hardiness zones. But yes, within your own property, you're going to have different microclimates. So we'll sort of talk about different ways to evaluate that on your own property and make the most of it.
You also will be doing a seed start portion?
Yes. So successfully starting your seeds is important when starting your garden this time of year. So whether you are going to start your seeds indoors and then transplant them out, or you're directly sowing the seeds into your garden, making sure they get the best start, making sure that soil is prepared correctly is going to be important so that they are successful.
And that it's warm enough. I have my soil temperature at 42 right now. So
yes. And many gardeners may not realize that soil temperature is incredibly important. It's not just the air temperature, but the soil temperature that's going to be important for those seeds to germinate.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to ask, what is a good temperature for starting out to germinate? Because I have to admit, I didn't really think about that so much.
Well, it will vary based on what plant you're growing. So some plants like peas or spinach can handle a lower temperature, maybe even into the 40s. Mm-hmm. They will still germinate. Most of our seeds have an optimum soil temperature closer to 60 degrees, yes. Maybe 50 degrees, yes. Or even higher for that optimum germination.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Has anyone ever started beans a little too early? Nothing happens. Yes. Jennifer, is the date of the our April 13th date, does that coincide well with getting seeds started, or should we already be going?
Again, it will depend on what crops you're growing, but yes, there's certainly some crops you might still be starting indoors. So something like your broccoli often is started somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks before the last frost. And so again, it will vary based on your own little microclimate and where you are in this North Idaho area. But for many of us, about May 15th is the last frost. So you'd still have about 4 weeks where you might get plants started indoors. And then some of those other crops like your carrots or spinach that you are going to be directly seeding into the garden, you still have plenty of time to get those in.
Yeah, starting too early with seed starts is just as problematic as starting too late.
Yes, I've had that experience of starting my tomatoes very early indoors and then trying to manage quite large plants before it gets warm enough to plant them outside.
That's right.
There's a lot of lessons to be learned with the seed starting. I'm looking forward to that part of the program.
Yes. And with so much of gardening, I think, especially with seed starting, keeping that garden journal and seed starting journal of when did you start your seeds and was it too early because you had too large of plants? And then the next year you can make some corrections based on what you've done previous years.
Although every year is a little different.
Well, that is true, yes.
I did learn an interesting thing. I'm researching a little bit of the biodynamic gardening, and they were talking about the depth of the seed start trays, that when that seedling's roots start hitting the bottom of the tray, they start prematurely maturing. So sometimes you'll see those plants that'll bolt. The little tiny starts that'll bolt, that's because their roots are too crowded. And that was new information for me.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so the depth of the seed trays is important as well. As an educator with the Extension Office, what other things are you offering through the office there?
Well, I focus primarily on horticulture and small farm education. So we do have other gardening classes and other crop production classes. But we also have other programs that are related to forestry. For instance, on April 6th, Chris Schneff, who is the extension educator for forestry in the North Idaho area, will be teaching a class on planting trees in a forest setting, reforestation. So we offer programs such as that. We also offer the food preservation programs, and that's primarily in partnership with the educator from Boundary County, Amy Robertson.
Do you have a test garden there at the Extension Office?
We do have a small demonstration garden where we like to try out just different techniques in the garden. We also utilize it for some of our classes, especially our youth programs. We have a Junior Master Gardener program that helps plant and plan that garden.
Are you part of the U of I agriculture or the apple orchard as well?
So Kyle Nagy primarily runs that. And so I'm not officially with that, but we have also utilized the teaching market garden that they have there for some of our programs.
Sounds like they're getting pretty involved in the gardening as well as the orchard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you help people get organic certification?
I can certainly help folks navigate through the process, find the correct forms, and then help connect them with those folks either through the Idaho State Department of Agriculture or locally that can help them further. I think being able to have a mentor help you through that process is really helpful. And we have some longtime organic gardeners and farmers in the area, such as Diane Green with Green Tree Naturals, who has acted as a mentor for other farmers. So I'm always happy to kind of get folks pointed in the right direction, but sometimes a more experienced mentor can help you really guide you through the process.
And then throughout the summer at the Extension Office, there are many other things happening, like pest ID and trouble.
Yes. So, well, I'll first start off by saying that we run the Idaho Master Gardener Program, which is an educational program geared towards training volunteers who can then help answer some of the questions that come into our office. We get lots and lots of gardening questions about either pests or the best way to grow a vegetable or how much should I fertilize at our office. And if I had to try to answer all those questions myself, I'm just not sure that I could do it. So we have some wonderful volunteers that help with that. We call it our plant clinic, where folks can drop off their problems, maybe a sample of a plant that's not doing well or a pest, and then we can help identify the problem or the pest and determine how best to control that.
How do people find out when this clinic is? Is it on a calendar that you have there at the office or online?
We have folks drop off their questions anytime. And then over the summer, we usually have a master gardener in there once a week to go through.
Okay.
So you don't have to come on the day where the master gardener is present.
And have we mentioned it? If we have, let's mention again, where is the Extension Office?
That's a great question. We are located just north of the Bonner County Fairgrounds. So just north of their main parking lot there, 4205 North Boyer is the address. But it does get confusing. The Sandpoint Organic Agriculture Center that's run by the university is about maybe 3/4 of a mile north of our office on the same road. But sometimes folks get confused between the two facilities.
And you're right there by the fairgrounds, the second.
Correct. Yep. Lane. You'll turn in as if you're going to the fairgrounds, but before you get to their main parking lot, head up that driveway towards, it's a grayish building with a red roof.
Yes. There are a couple of presenters at the workshop who are part of that Master Gardening program.
Correct. Yes. So we have Elizabeth Stroob, who is going to be helping with the seed saving workshop, as well as with the successfully starting your seeds. And she's one of our Master Gardener volunteers. We also have Nancy Mangham, who will be helping with the seed tape, who is an Idaho Master Gardener volunteer. And also Tina Imlay, who will be helping with the last presentation. She is both a Master Gardener volunteer as well as a food safety volunteer.
All right. So the whole gamut of help is out there at the Extension office for gardeners in town here.
Yes, we try to.
You hear so much about food insecurity, and it seems to me that this could be the answer to a lot of our food insecurity problems. Getting gardens going and gardeners help.
Yes, there's a lot of different crops that you can grow, even in our colder climates, and even if you just have a small garden.
Yes.
Yeah, Julie? And a lot of crops that you can preserve for a long time by the means that you can learn about from U of I Extension. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. So we'll kind of touch briefly on some of the basic food preservation techniques at the Natural Connections presentation. Canning, of course, but also freezing, freeze drying, dehydrating. So all of those are options for gardeners because a lot of times we do end up producing more than we can consume fresh.
Sure. Sure. Well, we'll talk a little more in depth about that when we come back after our song break here. I think now is maybe a good opportunity to go to a little music, Julie?
Yes, I think it's the perfect time, Julie. And for those of you who've joined us after 8 a.m., this is KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio. And you're listening to the Tuesday morning show with Julie Prochinski and me, Julie Calamine. And this morning, we've just got great guests and a lot of them. Joyce Jowdy, Kelly Burt, and Jennifer Jensen, who will all be participating on April 13th. Yes. Well, Julie P. picked the songs this morning, and the first one that we'll have is Tommy. And for the perceptive listeners who pay attention to what we say here on KRFY, that was not Tommy Emmanuel. It was Peter, Paul, and Mary with the garden song.
It's not April Fool's anymore.
No, it is not April Fool's. Once again, this is KRFY Community Radio, and you're listening to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show with Julie Prochinski and me, Julie Calamine, and three very knowing gardeners.
That's right. We're here with the Natural Connections Garden Series at East Bonner County Library coming up on April 13th. And we have Jen Jensen with the Extension Office and the two librarians, Kelly Burt and Joyce Jowdy. So we had a few questions during that break, and a couple of them were about seeds.
Yes, after we went to our song break, I had more questions for Kelly. And one was about the seed library itself. It seems as though the good seeds could get grabbed early. Does that happen?
Yeah, we do have limited quantities of some of the seeds. Some, like some of our flowers, we have a lot of, and we have bulk of. But some of the vegetables, we might have limited quantities. So it would be a good idea to show up early, but also to think about donating some too. Even if they're seeds that you've purchased, as long as they're open pollinated, non-patented, we'd love to have them. And as long as they are within range of viability. So seeds that are a little older, you know, we won't say no to them, but over 5 years, the germination rate really starts to plummet. And we want to give people the best chance at a good gardening season.
Yes, and I have friends who don't even use last year's seeds, but you think up to 5 years could possibly still work for folks.
It depends on what type of plant you're growing, but I say 5 years is like a general kind of, you know.
Overall,
mm-hmm. Yeah, time frame. But it's broken. I do have like a chart that's broken down into some lettuces are really quote unquote viable for only a year. So it just depends on the type of seed you're saving.
Good. And you'll know about that. So that will help folks who come in.
And I just want to add, for folks that do come in, we'll have little envelopes and stuff and ways for you to label your seeds. So if you don't have individual packages, don't worry about that. You know, like, so if you got a big little container that you just put a whole bunch of seed in, as long as you know what it is and you can label it and it fits the requirements that Kelly just shared with us.
It's good.
It's good.
And then another question arose for me while Jennifer was talking, and that was about seed tape. Do you think everyone knows what that is?
They might not. If you're not familiar with seed tape, it is a piece of paper that has the seeds already spaced out on it. So oftentimes it's used with radishes or carrots where you're planting a long row of them and they're spaced pretty close together, 1 inch to 2 inches apart. And that can be challenging with some of those small seeds to get the appropriate spacing in your garden. So by using the seed tape, you're already have them spaced out. You don't have to go back and thin them like you might if you had just hand sewn them. And then the paper dissolves away. So you can purchase seed tape. We'll be talking about how to make it yourself just using toilet paper and a flour paste.
Oh, that sounds really fun. And it's given me an idea because for a number of years, I've helped with the school gardens. The garden I help out with most of the time is the Sagal School Garden. And, you know, we'll have a planting day with those fourth and fifth graders. And if they get the carrots and the radishes, boy, when those guys come up, it doesn't really look like what you might expect. So maybe an early season project for those kids would be to learn to do their own seed tape.
Yes, it's a great project for kids.
My brother and I would plant beans as kids, and Mom would give us this 5-pound bag, and we'd go to the end of the row and throw a handful to the hogs, and then go to the other end and throw another handful, and there's beans all in the hog yard and everything else. But sorry, Mom, we that was too many beans. Nobody eats that many beans. But I think we do need to talk about the preserving the harvest, because to me, as a long-time gardener, that was something that took me a long time to learn. Like, after you plant 3 rows of kale, then what do you do? So just diving deep into how you gals keep your garden and keep your harvest from your garden and what you do there.
And how do you manage? I mean, we think we want so much produce, and sometimes we really overdo. So this might be a time for some advice for folks that haven't gardened that long.
Yes, so I'll jump in. Part of what we'll talk about in the Planning the Garden and Preserving the Harvest program with Natural Connections on the 13th is how to plan how much you want so that you're not overplanting or underplanting. So we'll have a chart available that talks about if you're just going to consume your produce fresh, here's approximately how much you should plant. But if you're hoping to can or freeze some of that crop, then here's actually how much you should plant.
What crop is it that you have to plant every year for preserving?
Well, I must admit, I don't can, but I do often freeze my produce. And for myself, it's broccoli. It's one of the vegetables that my kids love, and they'll often eat it just by snapping a branch out of the garden and consuming it. But I like to be able to freeze that in the for the winter.
And Kelly, what's your go-to vegetable?
I have to second the broccoli.
Oh,
my two young sons, Jasper and Ryder, they love to just eat broccoli. They'll just sometimes just bend over and eat a broccoli head just standing there because it's funny and it's fun.
Yes.
But, and I also just freeze. I don't do a lot of canning because it's a lot easier.
Yes.
And also tomatoes. I think cherry tomatoes are just one of those things that you cannot buy at the grocery store, and they just taste just 100 times better coming straight out of your garden, a little warmed by the sun, and they're just sweet and vibrant, and there's so many different varieties. So cherry tomatoes are always on the list.
Uh-huh. And Joyce, do you have a garden?
It's called the Farmer's Market. It is open on Saturdays and Wednesdays. Coming soon.
Well, that's a good place to get your vegetables. You can get anything you want there.
Absolutely. With much better success. When I first moved here, I tried, and I had the climate problem that I'll learn more about from Jen at this program that kind of kept me. And I was like, okay, I just need to support those who are successful, and it's their green thumb gift.
That's right. And you mentioned, too, that the garden at the library is available for anyone to use.
Oh,
that's...
geez, you're giving my secrets away. Oh. Last year, I have to admit, those peppers that Anna grew was just awesome. I'd go out at lunchtime and snack on them, and everybody else is welcome to. And there's strawberries out there usually, and all of that sort of thing. So
it's open to the public at all times.
Absolutely. It's a little demonstration garden. They put in milkweed last year to help with the whole monarch butterfly, doing pollinating garden and all that sort of stuff. I probably should be letting Kelly tell about this, but I'm going to tell her what she's doing, I guess. I don't know. Anyhow, all that stuff is really fun, and people can come and learn, not just when we're having classes. And it's open all the time. You can go in there. People are eating their lunch, or I've seen people on their computers doing a little work, whatever. It's
sometimes
great.
Storybook is out there, I've read. Yep.
And starting maybe in May, we might have our Natural Connections back out there.
Oh, okay.
So last August to September, we had the whole day program out there, not always on gardening, but in that location.
Yes, I came to one last summer.
Yeah.
Yes.
This April one, though, will be indoors, so we're still a little wussy.
Yeah, well, you never know what the weather's going to do.
That's right. But I hear gardeners are hardy, so that's hence why Kelly's pushing for May out in the garden.
So, Jen, you're leading the Keeping the Harvest portion of the series, and Tina Imlay is there with you. She's a volunteer with the Master Food Safety program.
Yes. So like our Idaho Master Gardener program, there's the Master Food Safety Advisor program that trains volunteers to then be able to help other folks with their canning or other food preservation questions. And so there's a number of volunteers in our area through that program that will offer different workshops or education sessions like Tina will be doing at this program.
Is that the same kind of education program as the Master Gardeners, or is it an extension from the Master Gardeners program? Or
it's really a separate program that just focuses on food preservation. And so they talk about food safety in general, but then canning, whether that's canning your low-acid foods or other foods, high-acids that might be able to be water bath canned, jams, pickles, dehydrating, freezing, and also general food storage tips as well.
Mm-hmm. And I know we used to be able to take our canner out and have it checked. You'll do that as well?
Correct. Yes. At our extension office, we just have the tester for the Presto canners.
Okay.
But we can test the gauge on your canner to make sure that it's reading correctly. And we recommend folks test that each year just to make sure it's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes sense, because things can happen.
Yes.
Bad things.
That's right. Jennifer, will she be able to address the nutritional qualities of the various preservation techniques? I'm always curious, is a canned food more nutritious than a dried food, or et cetera, frozen food? Is that something she can address? Or,
you know, I am not sure about that. I'll have to check with Tina to see if that's going to be part of what she's going to talk about with that program. I do know that we have some publications through University of Idaho Extension. There's a publication called Harvesting and Storing Vegetables that generally talks about the nutrient content of each of the different vegetables.
And the techniques of preserving them.
Yes, preserving them, and just best ways to store them. So even if you're not
not going to be dehydrating them or canning them. It'll talk about what type of area, whether they need a cool, humid environment to be stored, or some crops do better with less humidity, or some crops can handle almost to freezing, a very cold environment. So it talks about those and the general timeline of how long those will keep under those conditions.
And some crops can stay in the garden through the winter, and you find them in the spring.
Yes.
We just had beets, pickled beets at Easter that I found in the garden this year. That was kind of fun. So let's just, one last thing from each of the gals here is, what's your favorite recipe that you do every year from your either farmer's market produce or your own produce? Jen, you start us.
Okay. That's a tough one. But I think I would say with the tomatoes, like Kelly was saying, the tomatoes fresh out of the garden are so delicious. I like to use the tomatoes in, I think the recipe's called avocado feta salsa. So there's avocados and feta and then fresh tomatoes with some olive oil and vinegar. And that's a really delicious dip for tortilla chips or pita chips.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. And Kelly, what's your secret recipe?
So my secret recipe is a bruised kale salad. So we always plant a bunch of kale. And then you get a ton of kale, and there's really only so much you can do with kale, like saute it, that's it. Bruised kale salad is great. So you just cut up your kale, add a little bit of apple cider vinegar, a little olive oil, a little salt, a little sugar, and then you just massage it. Just get that aggression out on your kale, and you can let your kids do it. They love it. And I'll add sometimes I'll add like little red onions or some seeds in there, whatever, but you could just do it just plain bruised kale. But once you start massaging that kale, it starts to break down a little bit and it gets softer.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it just turns into this delicious kale salad. It's so good.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it seems like it gets a little less bitter too.
It gets a lot less bitter. Yeah. Yes. You'll start to release some of those juices. It'll start to, yeah, like I said, like it'll break down so it's easier to digest.
Yes.
Too. So you're still getting that like raw kale, but it tastes so much better.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that about massaging the leaves to get it to digest easier.
Yeah.
Joyce, do you have one?
Well, kind of more simple than these fancy ladies. I guess maybe because I don't grow it myself, but I love fresh green beans with some of the different squashes, of the patty pans and stuff like that, and steaming it just lightly and putting out maybe some lemon juice and some herbs and seasonings, just kind of those kinds of fresh, leaving things pretty close to their source state, and just kind of enjoying that. But I might be happy to try Kelly's recipe.
Yes.
I keep wanting to find better uses for kale, and somebody had a kale chip recipe, but I have not gotten good results with
it. I haven't either.
Maybe it's time to try getting it through her salad.
Yeah, yes.
Massage it. Don't bake it.
Yeah. Yeah, it just turns kind of more bitter and almost bitter too.
Yep.
I haven't figured it out either.
I don't hear a single one of you adding bacon to anything. My home, the family that I garden with loves their garden vegetables that they grow, but there always seems to be bacon in the recipe, which is very good.
That's more of a condiment, really.
I guess. What about you, Julie?
I do the soups. I do carrot soup. I do broccoli soup. You have the Moosewood cookbook, and that's really at the beginning of my adulthood. I got that cookbook, and oh my gosh, those fresh soups, I just love them. Tomato soup, I'm a soup fan. And I eat all of it raw too. So anything else? Anything anyone wants to add to our discussion this morning? Anything we missed?
Well, let's repeat the event, the time, location, etc.
Pass that to Joyce and let her give us the rundown again.
Okay, we'll end on the rundown, but before we do that, I just wanted to give you a heads up, everybody. May 18th, another Saturday in May, we are going to have another Natural Connections event. We don't have the whole lineup set up for that one yet, But I hear there might be something about, you know, spring check of your bicycle. So, as well as there will be some gardening programs. Kelly's still working on what that might look like. And like I said, she's still trying to talk me into being out in the garden for that one. And there might also be something totally different. And that's one of the things I just want to shout out to people is for this Natural Connections, it can be just about any topic falls under that. So if you have an expertise area that you'd like to share or explore, or if you're in the community like, hey, I would love to learn to do this, or I want to try that before I buy it, or, you know, before I hire a consultant or something like that, please reach out to me. And once again, I'm Joyce Jowdy, the Community Engagement and Adult Programming Coordinator at the East Bonner County Library District. And I can be reached directly at 208-263-6930 at extension 1103. And let us know, and maybe we can make you part of our Natural Connections or hook you up with some other programming or some other resource, because the library is really not just about books anymore.
No, it's not.
We've got the VR room. We've got I think Julie's a birder, aren't you?
Oh, I am.
Did you know have a new birder's backpack can check out from our library of things? We just got them like a month or so ago.
I will be in to check it out.
So go for that. So anyhow, folks, you know, please, you know, keep all that in mind. So that's May 18th, but more timely is April 13th.
13th,
now I'm giving
yes.
it up. Once again, a Saturday. And that's where the program that you've been hearing highlights of today. It'll start at 10 a.m. with the Climate and Successful Garden, and then it'll move to 12 p.m. when you can bring your own lunch and learn more about seed saving, as well as the seed library at the library. And I should mention, by the way, there's, I think, seeds at the Clark Fork Library as well. So if that happens to be your way, I believe, or not, like Kelly's making faces at me, so I might be wrong. But maybe we ought to have them if we don't. And then also there's Successful Starting Seeds at 1 p.m. And you'll get to get your hands into it and have something to take home from that one. And at 3 p.m. there's Planning to Preserve the Harvest. So make sure that you get the right amount to get what you want for your family or yourself. And all these events, greater detail, are at ebonnerlibrary.org/events. Go into detail. And then don't forget all-day seed exchange that will be going on all day. You can bring and take or just take. And I forgot to mention, come May 18th, that other one I do know we're going to be doing a plant exchange. So this month's seed exchange, next month's plant exchange. Get you all set for your gardening, guys.
That sounds great. Well, I think we've covered everything.
I think so, Julie.
Well, thank you so much to Joyce Jowdy and Kelly Burt from the Bonner County Library and Jennifer Jensen from the Extension Office. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing all your information with us today.
Thank you, Julie's.
And this is a shout out to the listeners. Put April 13th on your calendar and attend one or all of the events happening at both the library and later on at the Extension Office, as they have many events and classes as well. We're very proud of these organizations and the quality of classes they offer. So take advantage of them. Don't miss out on all this good information you can gather for free.
We are lucky to have these
resources.
We are. Very
absolutely.
Lucky.
We are so lucky to have KRFY as our resource, 88.5, everybody. Thanks for listening. And, you know, I see sun through the sky roof here. I think it's time to get our fingers out in the dirt.
That's absolutely right. You ladies get out there. And, you know, we didn't even pay Joyce Jowdy to say that. All right. Well, we'll have a short song break. And if we've got time, we'll cover a few upcoming events.
Sounds good, Julie.
For those of you who are wondering what the next song might be, guess what? Tommy Emmanuel, Windy and Warm.